Thanks for joining Walt and me today. My name is Brenda McCord. Each week, we look forward to sharing lessons from God's Word. This podcast, Walk with God, is part of our ministry, Discover God's Truth. We invite you to visit the website and subscribe at discovergodstruth.org, where you can grow and be encouraged in your personal walk with the Lord. We appreciate the outreach ministry of theawakeningworldwide.com. Walt and I are happy to welcome you today to this podcast, Walk with God. And you know, it's part of our new ministry, Discover God's Truth. We want you to be strengthened and encouraged in God's Word. There's no cost for you to subscribe to our website, discovergodstruth.org. The link is in the show notes below. Well, today we're going to return to 1 Peter. We're in chapter 3. Peter concludes this section now with respect for others. And we're going to begin today in verse 8 in chapter 3, finally, all of you. Now, I'm going to stop right there. I mean, we're just starting in verse 8, but I've got to stop already.
Wait, you're stopping already?
Yeah, I know.
You just started.
Well, you know, it's part of when we study God's Word, we've got to pause. We've got to take notice of what the words are. And what Peter's doing is he's saying, finally. And so I had to go back through 1 Peter, those first couple of chapters, and let's look at this summary. Back in chapter 2, verse 13, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. So remember, we talked about government. We talked about those who are over us. And then we drop down to verse 16 in chapter 2, living as servants of God, calling all of us there, right? And then in verse 17 of chapter 2, remember that summary, honor everyone, fear God. And we saw those comparison there. It's the people, but then it's those in authority over us, the government, honor the emperor, fear God. Well, then we moved into chapter 2, verse 18, servants, be subject to your master with all respect. So do you see what's happening here? He's been talking about all the people all around us. He's talking about whatever your role in life is. And then actually last week, as we came into chapter 3, we touched on likewise. Remember our lesson last week, likewise. Verse 1, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands. Verse 7, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. And now we come into verse 8, all of you. All of you, this is collective. We've been teaching this. We've been going through all of these different situations and circumstances we live in. And now he's saying, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble.
You know, Peter seems here, he's just saying, what does it look like to respect others? And as he's discussing this, he says he's going to go from respecting others, eventually he's going to get to an even more difficult topic, respecting your enemies, respecting, and what does it look like to do that?
Yeah, and I've camped here on verse 8 this week because it, well, we got to use our word, Walt. What's our word for this book?
It's thick.
It's rich. It's just rich. There's the meaning that's here. Be like-minded. What is that? That's unity of mind. That's harmony, not uniformity. We don't have to look or act the same. We can come to the table. We have differences and we look at things from different perspectives, from a different, we call it a vantage point, but that we have unity of mind, that there is harmony, that someone's singing soprano and someone's singing tenor or alto, right? But then he rolls into be sympathetic, have that sympathy.
And even as you say that, for a number of years, I taught the book of Hebrews at seminary. And one of the things, I love this passage out of Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one, a high priest, who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. He committed no sin. So let us then with confidence, because we have this sympathetic high priest that understands us, that knows that we're frail, that knows that we're weak, that knows that we mess up. But we, because of that, we can draw with confidence near to the throne of grace, and we can receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. I love that passage out of Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16.
And even as you share that, Walt, I'm envisioning, what is it like to sit with one another, to sit with others, and to listen what's going on in their life, that idea of extending grace to them, extending understanding, having sympathy.
And it's just the opposite of someone pointing their finger and, you should have done that, and I would have done that better, and you're just a hot mess, and you'll never amount to anything. The sympathetic high priest, the sympathetic one, comes alongside of us and says, I wish you wouldn't have done that. That's really difficult, but I care about you, and I know that God will forgive you. Come on, let's move forward. Let's move on and get healthier in our life.
And we have a God of mercy. We have a God who wants to extend grace to us. And what I love here is where it flows next. Love one another. It flows right into it. Why? Because we have a God of mercy and of grace. We have a God of love, extending brotherly love to one another. So we're like-minded. We offer sympathy. We're sympathetic to one another. We love one another. And then it's almost this big, I don't know, I'm just thinking like wrapping it up in a blanket, wrapping it up into a package and tying a bow, be compassionate and humble. And I pulled these words, having a tender heart, showing kindness, a humble mind, not being judgmental, not being critical, but coming together in harmony.
And again, the opposite of a humble mind is a proud mind. I'm better than you. You don't deserve this. Condescending, looking at others and looking down your nose and saying, I really don't like you that much.
Mm-hmm. And so now, as Peter has said, finally, all of you, we roll into verse 9 where he says, don't return evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. So, you know, we're living in a world that's filled with evil and insults, and people are backstabbing, and someone makes a comment and someone comes back with an insult or just mocking them or tearing it down. And what Peter is saying to us here is, don't lash back at people. Instead, take the high road, bless people, rise above those insults where someone's trying to knock you out at the knees. Stand up and go above that. When do we do this? And as we do this, we will receive a blessing. And so I have a head to heart here. What does that really look like? I think about situations on the road when someone is rude or someone's been unkind, you know, and when someone has honked their horn and I know I catch myself like, okay, what did I just do wrong? What was I, you know, where was I in the wrong lane or doing something incorrectly? But do we make that decision to walk away from those situations? And when we do, we get this deep sense that we've chosen the right way to act and live. Not because we're perfect, but we chose in that situation the right way. And this opens the door for the Lord to bless us. You know, His blessing in our lives is going to look different than we may expect, but He will bless us. Maybe in this life, but certainly in eternity.
And you know, Brenda, I was sharing with you, we live in Northeast Ohio now, and there are these roundabouts, and I saw a road rage situation recently, and it was one of these things where a guy cut another guy off, and then the guy came up beside him, and as I'm watching this and observing this, I'm like, man, I'm watching this, and I'm saying, how bad is this going to get? And eventually, they went a different direction, and I didn't see how this was resolved or wasn't resolved. But when others observe us, what do they see in us? What do they see in me? As we continue in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, for whoever desires to love life and see good days, oh, I'd love to see good days, let that person keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. And as I'm watching these people, the one guy in particular I could kind of see, and he's yelling and he's screaming. I have no idea what he was saying, but he wasn't blessing the Lord, that's for sure. But speaking evil and lips from deceit. If you desire to have a good life and see good days, turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. And so that comment, here's, don't do this. If you love life and you want to have good days, keep your tongue from evil. And I love that, those phrases, keep your tongue from evil. Don't have deceit on your lips. Turn away from that. Choose instead to do good if you want to see good days. When you're doing good, it produces good days. And then last, seek peace. In fact, we should pursue peace. This isn't something that just happens accidentally. Seek and pursue it. Turn away from evil. Brenda more than me, for sure. She loves to take these different tests about personality.
And they're very insightful.
Yeah, I don't know.
They help us understand.
So just to let you know, I'm an otter. I'm a fun-loving. One of my first places is fun country. I do that. Brenda is a beaver. She's a worker. She gets things done. She organizes things. But by the way, we're laughing kind of at each other and with each other right now. But one of the things that really helps us as a couple is both of us, kind of the second place we go to is peace. We love peace country. We want there to be peace in our church relationships, in our relationships with other believers. But we also really, it's important for us to have peace with each other. If we get sideways a little with each other, it's not long. So we come together and say, okay, what's going on here? And how can we get back to a place of peace? And I think we love this because Jesus said that's really important. There's a special blessing to those that seek peace and pursue it, as Peter said. They turn away from evil, they do good, and they seek and pursue peace. Jesus said this in Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, because they will be called the sons, the children of God. When we seek peace, when we pursue peace, as Peter said, because he was there, he heard that Sermon on the Mount. And in a world that's ugly and filled with violence and hate, where there's evil and deceit that Peter has just spoken about, Jesus sends us to be peacemakers. And by the way, that's not easy. It's very difficult, but it's so necessary. It's so important in our everyday world and all over the world, wherever you live. This podcast goes out to over 60 countries. As you walk through your life in your country, seek, pursue to be a peacemaker. Pursue to be like Jesus. And there's a special blessing that you will be called and you will be seen as different, as a child, as a son, as a daughter of God.
And as we continue into verse 12 here, we're going to see, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. So, you know, what's my tongue doing? What are my words doing? What are my actions? What are my attitudes? The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So this is anthropomorphic, a big word, but it's using human terms to apply to God, to the Holy Spirit. So we're looking at the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Do you think of that during the day? Do you pause before you're going to do something and realize the Lord's watching? There might not be anyone else around us, right? There's no one else watching. The ears, his ears are open. He hears, and he hears any words coming out of our mouth that are inappropriate or are wicked or wrong. But he also then hears our prayers. Are you crying out to the Lord? Are you bringing your prayers? And then the Lord knows. He sees. The Lord hears. But this at the end of verse 12, but. So whenever we see that but, we want to take note of that. The face of the Lord. And this is his disciplinary face. This is his hard face. It is against those who do evil. Friends, we want to live a righteous life. We want to be holy as he is holy. That's what he's called us to.
And even that last verse, verse 13, who is going to harm you if you're evil, eager to do good? But verse 14 continues that thought. But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, there might be some suffering. There might be some people that want to harm us, even when we're doing good. God says, you are blessed. Peter reminds us, you're blessed. There might be some that want to harm you, even in the doing of good. But don't fear their intimidation and don't be troubled. There's a number of things that should trouble you and I. When we sin, when we harm others, that should trouble us. But when we are being righteous, when we are doing good, God says, I'll bless you. I'll take care of you. Even if you should suffer, and we all do, if we suffer for righteousness, you are blessed. God's watching. He will take care. He will repay. Galatians, sowing and reaping. Don't be distressed. Don't be forsaken. Don't be discouraged. Whatsoever you sow, that you shall reap. Who sows unto righteousness will from righteousness receive from the Lord an everlasting reward. Don't fear their intimidation, their threats. Isaiah said it this way in Isaiah 41:10, fear not. And by the way, that's not easy. There's times when I fear, but he says, listen, try. Fear not, for God says, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand, the hand of power, the hand of care, the hand that surrounds us, and he will take us home. He will bring us home. We don't have to fear ultimately, even if we suffer for righteousness' sake, because God will bless us, he sees us, and he'll bring us home. Let me pray. Father God, I thank you so much that you have a righteous right hand. That's your right hand of power. That's the right hand of a judge. That's the right hand that looks at us and sees us through the lens of Jesus Christ, who died for our sakes, who made us clean, who made us adopt into your family, who made us part of your family. And Lord, we just thank you that you promise that as we are peacemakers with you, we're called sons and daughters of God. If we suffer for righteousness' sake, you'll see, you care, and you'll bless. Help us remember that, Lord, as we go through this world that's full of trials and tribulation and trouble. And help us not to realize that the world will not overcome us. The world will never overcome you. Help us to just walk day by day, hand in hand with you, and that would be a walk with God. We pray all of this in Christ's mighty, powerful, and loving name, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this lesson from God's Word. Walk with God is part of the teaching ministry of Discover God's Truth. Visit our website at discovergodstruth.org. We appreciate the outreach ministry of theawakeningworldwide.com.